Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I recently saw a health video he made and I was surprised. He's in his 80s and still seems to have his energy and health. He says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife made the same change and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, and she has energy all day. Many of us do not include the fruits, vegetables, and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. Chuck Norris made a special video that explains how he incorporated these things with one simple product. You can watch it by going to mymorningkick.com/Harris. It may change your approach to your own health. Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/Harris. Good afternoon, everyone. Wanted to give a quick travel update to encourage your hearts. I've been going across the Midwest. I've been in four different places, three churches, and then of course Nini's Deli the last few days. And I'm heading out to Oklahoma from Southern Indiana right now to go to some political events. And you could pray for me because as we all know, just because someone's politically conservative doesn't mean that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm gonna be sharing the gospel, and we'll see what happens. But at the churches that I've been to so far, I just want to encourage everyone, because my heart's encouraged. There are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. There really are. And they may be the kinds of people we don't hear from often. They don't have the platforms that many in elite evangelicalism have, but they are out there. And there are many of them, and they are concerned. And I asked for a show of hands at the three different churches that I've been to for conferences or just talking about the issue of social justice. I said, if you have had a strained relationship, or you've lost friends or family members, or you know, have a strained relationship with you because of the social justice movement, raise your hand. And it's been between about 75 and 90% of the audiences raise their hand. And for me, it's just so clear that this issue is affecting everyone across the country. It's leaving no one, hardly anyone, unaffected by it. And I've heard of many church splits. In fact, 2 days ago, I had a young man came to me just in tears because he had been following David Platt for 8 years or so, and kind of had some bitterness, I guess, he said, against the American church for being complicit in all sorts of horrible things, and just realized kind of that in the last year or 6 months or so that this was all a lie, that David Platt was hypocritical, that he had bought into something false, and that and now he realizes it, but he thinks of those 8 years and it grieves him, but he's now coming around and he's seeing what true Christianity is, and he's seeing, he's loving the people around him, the people that he actually lives with, and that kind of thing. And so as hard as this is for some people, it's bitter. We don't want to think that some of our leaders are this compromised or preaching a false gospel or hypocrites. It's really, I think, people's eyes are really starting to be opened, and they're seeing it, and the truth is going out there, and it's rescuing people from enslavement to false ideas and propaganda, and honestly things that prevent them or a barrier for them actually loving the people around them, the actual flesh and blood fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So this is something that I'm seeing happening all over the place, and people are motivated. They want to take a stand. I from the three churches I've been to, the leaders of these churches have basically told me, look, we do not care what kinds of names we're called. We don't care what kinds of consequences come our way. We are going to stand for the truth. We're going to stand for Jesus Christ. We're going to stand for the gospel. And we're going to stand for Christian ethics. And if we are called to compromise, no matter who it is, they could be the leaders in denominations or organizations that we might have even respected in the past, we will not bow to that. We will only bow and bend to Jesus and the Word of God, His divine revelation. And so I'm encouraged by this. There's some real guts out there. There's some real bravery. There's some real courage to stand. And it doesn't exist in the elite circles. And I can tell you that as someone who has kind of dipped my toe in the proverbial lake, and I've seen what it's like in various Christian schools, seminaries, universities, denominational life. And even now, I still have relationships in very high places in some of these arenas. And I can tell you that courage is exceptionally rare. And I'm saying like 98%, and I don't think I'm exaggerating there, 98% of the people that have the ability to do something in many of these arenas will not do it. It's very rare to find that person who is willing to suffer personal deprivation and do what's best for the people around them because they love the people around them and they want the truth to be out there. Most people are thinking about their jobs. They're thinking about their reputations. They are trying to game the system somehow, thinking that, you know, if they just do this, this, and this, somehow it's going to come out okay for them in the long run. And rather than just being simple about it, and here's the truth, and we're just going to go with the truth, come what may. Very rare that you have that spirit. And I know it's discouraging because many of you sense it. You know that that's rare. You know that this whole winsome thing where everyone wants to be winsome, which is just a personality trait. That's all that is. It's not virtue. It's not actual internal character. It's just personality. Everyone wants to do that as the chief moral good, but no one wants to have courage. And those are the kinds of things, courage, bravery, willingness to suffer deprivation, sacrificing oneself. These are the kinds of things that we build monuments to men and women for, because we recognize in them internal virtue. And that's the kind of thing that we need more of now. And it exists, but it doesn't exist in the elite circles. It exists in your small towns with flesh and blood people who are leading their congregations through this whole movement and all the challenges that come with it. And they're encouraging their people to take stands in their places of employment. They're taking stands in their communities, wherever that may be. And in regards to the whole situation right now in the medical field, I've met several people across the country who are retiring because, and not even the medical field, other fields as well. They're retiring, they're quitting their jobs, they're getting fired because of the pressure to take this experimental medication. And I see this in some ways, it's very connected to what happened last year. New issues keep arising, but the pressure that's exerted on people to violate their conscience and in some ways, in some cases, to not just violate their conscience, but violate what they know to be true biblically, has been insurmountable. And there's no resources, hardly any, if any, coming from evangelical elite denominations, conferences, that whole complex, whatever, that evangelical industrial complex. There's hardly anything. You might be able to point to a few things here or there. But there are small town pastors who are just opening their Bibles. They're finding people online who they can network with, share information with, listen to. One thing I wanted to mention here as well, many people have been saying to me, hey, John, I really appreciate you and AD. That's a coupling that I get is we like what you say. We really like what AD Robles says as well. And sometimes they'll mention a few other people in there. You know, we like Right Response Ministries. We like... There's a few that have been mentioned, but there's people out there who are small-time pastors, or they don't have these platforms that are putting information out. They're thinking deeply about the situation confronting us, opening their Bibles, trying to sort out what actually is going on and what the right response will be to that. And their material is getting picked up, and it's getting picked up by these small-town pastors and country pastors, and maybe even in some urban areas, pastors who just care about the truth, and they could care less about what man thinks about them. And I'm just wanting to encourage you with this. They're out there. You may feel like they're not in your community. I don't know where you live, but look hard. Try to find them. And if they're not there, consider being that person yourself or moving to a place where that person does exist. There's a lot of reshuffling of the deck. People are moving to areas of the country where they know there's going to be a solid pastor. I think that is completely appropriate. Even if they don't know quite how they're going to make a living, they are concerned for the spiritual well-being of their family, and they're making the trek. Even if it's a couple thousand miles, they're doing it. I say that's completely worth it. Being in a place where you are being spiritually fed and led is so important. I can't tell you enough how important that is. I can't underplay that at all. It is probably the most important thing, other than just the relationship you have with the Lord and your family, is having a good relationship with a local church. And suffering through a church that isn't willing to take a stand, is vague about everything, wants to be just winsome, doesn't see clearly what's going on, doesn't want to apply biblical solutions because they don't even really want to know. Ignorance is bliss. Don't toy around with it. I've seen that there are pastors out there who are willing to be courageous. And seeing that motivates me even more to just tell you and encourage you, find those people and be those people and move if you have to do it. That's my encouragement to you, because they do exist, and that's something that we can all take some heart in. So, hey, God bless. If you're in Oklahoma, looking forward to seeing you. Bye now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.